Matthew 6, and the importance of the prayer life of a Christian. Our Lord told him in verse 5 here, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." Now, this is not a prayer you repeat. This is, many folks call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually found over in John 16, John 17. And this is the model prayer. This is to be the pattern for our prayer, the outline for our prayer. If you want your prayer to be effective, he's taught you here how to get them effective. And we want to talk about it. We talked last week, I gave you 11 reasons why prayer is important. And I want to pick up tonight, as we go through this, on the importance of prayer. And that is, more or less, what is prayer in that? And first, Peter 5, verse 7, "Cast on all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And that's part of what our prayer is, but it's much more than just that. And so I want to go on the importance of prayer tonight. We have some tools as Christians. One of them is the Word of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Amen. We have the Word of God. That's how God talks to us. And then we have prayer. And that's how we talk to God. And then we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to both to understand and to utter those prayers and to do things pleasing to the Lord. Father, as we go into these few moments here of this lesson, Father, I pray that the importance of prayer and what prayer is would be encouraged in the hearts of those that are here, that they'll be reminded, we would, Father, to take a better look at our prayer life and examine our prayer life, because it is so precious. It is so powerful, and it is so important to you that we spend time with you in prayer. It is important to us that we spend time with you in prayer and how we develop that relationship that we have with you, Father. So use me tonight as your vessel, Father. Cleanse me of anything that would hinder me tonight. Clear me, Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be slow of speech, clear of words, but especially full of the Holy Spirit's power, Father. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be talking tonight about your prayer life and how it can be something very special, how it can be something to use to grow you very much as a child of God. So we have the importance of prayer. We talked last week, we pray, number one, because we're commanded to pray. Pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Of course, the Lord told him he had to pray. We're commanded our prayer. He taught us to pray as his model prayer. And Christ spent much of his time on earth in prayer. But even now, we talked last week, he's still praying. He's still interceding for us on the right hand of the Father, correct? And for that. And so isn't that wonderful? And it's God's way of providing for us. God knows what we need before we ask it, but he wants us to come talk to him about it. In James 4, 2, the end of that verse says, "You have not because you ask not." So I want to start tonight on asking you, what is prayer? And you'll see on your list there, number one, what is prayer? Prayer is this, the answer, that the blanket answer that covers pretty much what we're going to discuss in general tonight, is prayer is talking to God. And that's amazing. If you were to pick up the phone tonight and call the White House and ask to speak to the president, you probably wouldn't get through. You probably wouldn't even get through to his secretary. Someone would intercept it and decide whether what you had to say was important enough or not to warrant the president's ear of hearing it. You might pick any number of great leaders or any number of stars that you know, and you might want to call them, and they'd say, "Who? I ain't got time for them. Don't even know them." But the Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, if you're born again tonight, if you're not, He's not your Father. You need to come to Christ. You come to the Father by the way of the Son. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If you come by the way of the Son, then He's your Father too. Amen? And so we have our Father chart in heaven. And not only is there our Father in heaven, do you realize He's the Almighty God of all creation? And yet, He considers you important enough that you have immediate access to His throne room whenever you choose. Unless there's sin in your life you're not willing to confess that would hinder it, you have immediate access. Father, it's Herb. Amen? It's your Son. Isn't that wonderful? And that, so prayer is talking to God. Now, prayer is not just asking and asking and some more asking. That's selfish. Prayer is not just asking God for an answer to something, although that's part of prayer, those things are. Asking about your needs are part of it, but prayer is much more important than that. Prayer is part of our worship of God. Number two there. Prayer is part of worship of God. In John 4, John chapter 4 and verse 21, our Lord speaking to the woman at the well here says, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither on this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit. Men that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's when we go to pray, it's part of our worship. You bow your head when you pray, usually. Many times in the Bible, they would fall prostrate on the ground when they pray. It's bowing down. It's admitting that you can't get it without Him. It's gratitude that He would even want to entertain the thought of hearing your prayer, let alone hear it. That He would be willing to forgive your sins and save your soul and make you a joint heir with His Son, a bride of the Bridegroom, His Son. To all those things, it's part of that worship. It's praise, adoration, it's just telling Him and realizing who He is. Which brings you to number three. Prayer is an intimate time spent with God. Now, those of you here that are married, you sit down with your wife on the couch in front of the fireplace. You have the lights dimmed and you look into their eyes and you say, "Sweetheart, I remember the first time I saw you." What are you doing? You're trying to initiate an intimate conversation, right? That's a conversation you wouldn't have with anyone else. You better not. Right? "I remember the day I married you." "Well, I remember this. I remember our first child being born and our second child and so on. I remember when we had this time together. And what do you think about this, doing this in the future in our lives?" You're having some intimate conversations, right? You tell her how she's completed you, how much you need her, if you're her, how much you need Him. If you're not a him and a her talking, you have no right to be talking intimate. But listen, you do that. And see, there's a relationship you have with the Father that is special just for you and the Father. It's intimate. "Father, I remember the first time I heard about you. I remember the questions I had. remember those folks that pestered me to come here more, and I just didn't see the need at first. I remember that when I did finally realize I was a sinner and I came to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And although I was filthy, I was wicked, I was ungodly, I was undone, you took me in. You cleansed me. You forgave me. And you've made me what I am today, and you're still working in my life. In fact, Father, I'm so thankful you chose me to be the bride of your Son. And that mansion you're preparing for me and heaven to go to, and to think that you've allowed me to walk this earth and tell others about you. See, it's an intimate time of conversation. It includes, Father, I have some things I need to share with you. Some confession I need to do about some sins in my life, to ask for forgiveness. There's some needs in my life, Father. There's some decisions I have to make. But it's all that combined. It's intimate time spent with God. James 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. And that's being intimate. We are trying to get to enter into an intimate friendship with God so that we can find out what more He wants from us. How can we better please Him? Again, our Lord compared the church and Christ to the bride and the bridegroom, husband and wife, and so I'm going to do a little bit here. Again, an intimate conversation. Honey, you know what I'd really like to know? What you want for Valentine's Day? Or what you want to do for vacation? Or honey, what you want for your birthday? Or honey, listen, we've had a busy week. What can I do for you to make you feel better this weekend? Amen? And that goes both ways. And we do those things. Because you see, part of that intimate is wanting to please the other, right? I stopped in to return the bucket that our carnations were in at the florist that we used. And as I was turned to walk out, this little square vase with some really pretty flowers caught my attention. And I thought, oh, Vicky would love those. And she was out in the car. And I thought, I really didn't get her anything for Mother's Day anyway, so I stopped and turned back around and says, oh, you're getting them? And said, yeah, my wife would really love those. I thought about her. It'd be a good Mother's Day gift for a day late. That was on Monday. I got those Monday, actually, it was. Or Tuesday. No, it was Tuesday. And I took them in my car and I said to my wife, here, I just saw these and I thought about you. And she said, oh, in that flower arrangement, there's some yellow roses. I said, yeah, I remember this time. They were our wedding flowers. And all that. But I wanted to please her. And see, prayer is part of your time coming to God saying, God, what do you want from me? What can I do to please you? Prayer is looking to find out how to please the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 tells us this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And again, James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and draw nigh unto you. So it's trying to find out how you can draw closer to Him. What can you do to please Him? What can you do to thank Him for all that He's done for you, saving of your soul, giving you the life He's given you, just blessing you, taking you to heaven when it's over? Listen, prayer is that time when we focus on our intimacy with our Father in heaven. It's not just a list of what we want. Most of our prayer should be unselfish prayer. Talking to our Father in heaven, recognizing who He is and how holy He is and what His will is. Praying for others. And then, of course, you can bring your needs. He wants to hear those too. But don't make it 75% selfish and 25% unselfish. Make it about 75-90% unselfish and save that 10-25% for your selfish prayers. Now, I know you have needs. Don't get me wrong. But when I say selfish, you understand I mean your own needs. Right? I'm not saying because you have a need it's selfish. But just keep your prayers like that. That'll please Him. Because you can't put all those things first in your prayer life and not begin to put them first in your life. And so that would work that way. And so we come working on this. And as we come to the Scriptures, we go to the Scriptures. And that's God talking to us. And that
should also be done prayerfully.
We should stop when we come to the Scripture and say, Lord, as I go into Your Word today, will You help me to understand what it is You're speaking to me? Will You help me to understand how that applies to my life and help me to do in my life what those Scriptures would have me to do? I need You, Lord, to open my eyes and illuminate me to the truths in Your Word. I need to know what You want changed in my life. I need to know what direction You want from my life. I need to know, when I talk to others, what these Scriptures teach. And you go to that, and you pray over that, and prayer and the Scriptures, they just go hand in hand. And as you're praying over the Scriptures and studying them, God's answering prayers, you're getting more. That'll drive you more to God. And it's just a sweet relationship. It's that circle that can't be broken. Amen? It just goes round and round. And so that brings me to number 5 there. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. And this is a wonderful psalm because of what it promises. Look at me in verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor are sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly perish. You see, there's some things here, and these aren't necessarily in the order that's in the psalm there, but it's the order that I was thinking about them in. Number 1, meditating on the Lord and His Word day and night. Wake up thinking about it, go to sleep thinking about it, and think about it all day long. When you have that prayer time, that Bible time, that devotion time in the morning, and you come to those Scriptures, and you read those portions of Scriptures, throughout the day you should roll them over in your mouth, or in your mind rather, and think about them. Kind of like a cow. A cow has 5 stomachs. They go out, they eat that green grass and chew it up, and they swallow. It goes into the first stomach. And a little while later, you see them go, and they bring it back up. And they chew it some more, and break it down some more, and put it back into the second stomach. And a little while later, they're walking around, they bring it up again. And they chew it around again, and the third stomach, and then again to the fourth, to find them. What's the Lord? Is they're getting everything they can out of it. And you like milk, don't you? And all the puddings and the creams and the desserts and the pies and things that milk makes. Well, you're getting nutrition. They're getting all the nutrition they can out of that to produce. And when you come to God's Word and you meditate, it's kind of the same thing. All day long, keep mulling over it again. Bring it back to your mind again and kind of chew it again. And digest some more of it. And all day long. And then when you come home that night, think about it again. Maybe even read it again. And maybe just think about it and think, boy, you know, I got more out of that as I meditated upon it. As I was thinking about it today, what I was going through was an object lesson that helped me apply that. And you meditate upon it. And then the other one is, delight in doing everything that God wants you to do. He said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. See, you come to God's Word and say, God, what do You want? You go to prayer, God, what do You want? And then when He tells you, you should get excited about it. Delighted. Not, oh, well, if I must, I must. Well, He's glad you're doing it, but He'd be really tickled if you'd want to do it. Amen? If you would delight in doing it. He knows some things are difficult for you. He knows how hard some things He asked for you to do. He walked this earth. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. But He understands the pressure. And so He knows it's difficult, but He knows that with Him, you can do it.
whatever it is He wants you to do, right? I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me, right? He knows that. And so when He asks something of you, oh, He knows that you're going to think, oh, if I do that, what are my friends going to say? Lord, if I do that, boy, that's going to make this so hard in my life. Wow. I want to, Lord, I just don't know if I've got what it takes. You see, He knows it's hard. But just trust Him. Delight in Him. Say, Lord, okay, if that's what You want, Lord, I'm going to do my best with Your help. Amen? And if you struggle and you stumble, He's there to help you. Like a child when they learn to walk, you first hold their hands for them until they get that first step or two, and then finally they're off without it. Amen? He's there to help you. And then, of course, seek in ways to follow God more closely. You see, if you do that, you make a tree of water. You're seeking Him out. And so you're seeking to follow Him more closely. What is that? That's intimate. You're seeking to be more intimate with Him, to follow Him more closely. Now, so if that's what prayer is, what are the results of prayer? We are drawn closer to Christ. If you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. And when you draw closer to Him, we become more like Him. Have you ever known two folks that have been married for so long and they've desired to preach there so much, they have so much in common that they pretty much start to even resemble each other? In fact, I've known couples that have been so close, they had died within moments or hours of each other. Without even knowing the other one died necessarily. I remember they were nursing home. There was one couple who actually held hands on the way out. And another one didn't even know the other one died in the nursing home. And within hours, they were gone too. Because there was a closeness. They could just, the kindred spirit there. And of course, we reap spiritual blessings, which also can result in physical blessings. Amen? He said, those who do this shall prosper. That's a blessing. Amen? But the spiritual part of it is much more important than anything physical. I mean, Solomon asked for wisdom and God was so pleased that He gave him the wisdom and then all the riches along with it. But it was the spiritual part that God was pleased with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we reap more spiritual blessings. And when you do that, and you follow on that, you're drawn closer, you're more like Him, you get more spiritual blessings, you're going to live a more holy life. But you're not going to do it because you have to. You're going to do it because you enjoy pleasing Him. The intimacy will be so close that it'll just become a natural part of your spiritual being to want to live a holy life. Listen, the church is failing. I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of weeks here. And I'm not just saying just our church. I mean the church. Now it's gonna be some here until the day comes. Don't get me wrong there. The gates of hell's not prevail against it, right? But the church, especially in America, is anemic. It's weak. It's powerless, it seems like. Oh, there's a lot of stuff happening in a lot of these big showy type things, but how much of it's emotion and entertainment, and how much is really of God? And you think about this thought. I'm thinking about a message along this line. The inward, outward experiences. The real you is in here. That's the real you. Anything else you do that we see is simply what the outside is, and it can be real or pretend. Amen? Here's what's real. Anyways, the church. And see, a holy life has to come from here. And it comes from drawing closer, from wanting to be more like Him. See, holy means set apart. When you take your vows, your wedding vows, you set apart to that one. And that's the idea of that spiritual walk. You set apart to Christ. It's a holy life. And when you have that, you can't be drawn close to being more like Him, getting spiritual blessings, having a holy life without having a more fruitful life. Listen, the more of an image of Christ people see in the child of God,
the more of an impact the child of God will have in their life. It is difficult. And it is hard. But He's there to help you. And prayer is an important part of that. And so we become more fruitful. And when you become more fruitful, John 15:8, herein am I glorified that you bear much fruit. So our life then glorifies our Father. And Father, but our life, if we're doing that, our life then glorifies our Father, which art in heaven. Amen? And that's pleasing Him then, right? And that's where a prayer life should take us to. Now listen, we are so busy in our lives, and I know that a lot of it is just thrust at you. And I know how much pressure there is out there today. And I think it's worse now than it's ever been. And technology and running to and fro. You feel you left your office, you left things at the office. Nowadays, boy, they follow you everywhere you go. It's just the way the world is. Between the government following you, and work following you, friends following you, everybody following you. You never get that downtime. I can remember when I had my first car phone in sales. And I didn't really want to get it, and they told me you need to have it. I said, I can work out of a phone booth or out of a hotel lobby, out of a shopping center lobby. Just fine. My office is my briefcase. And they said, yeah, but you know, it's more productive if you just pull over to the side. And besides that, sometimes we just want to get a hold of you. And I looked at them and said, yeah, but sometimes I don't want you getting a hold of me. But that's the world we live in nowadays. And you guys got to deal with that. But don't let it get so hectic that it robs you of that intimate prayer time with your Father in heaven. I know it's hard. I know you guys go early morning to late night. And I know, and that's the devil just trying to get this world so busy it forgets God. Did you hear the report this week about American Christianity? America has far less Christianity right now. This is a national report than any time in its history. That there are fewer folks claiming to be and more folks denying to be Christian, more folks denying any sort of affiliation. Even they're not even claiming the non-denominational ones now. They're just saying we're fed up with it all because the church failed. And the church has been trying to entertain, to be a social club, to go through all these things. You look at the Old Testament church in the wilderness in the tabernacle, and how many programs did they run for everybody? How many groups did they separate for programs? You look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, when it was at its thriving at its most, and show me, and I'm not against helping folks, don't get me wrong, I'm not against all these things, but it seems like every time you turn around, there's nothing but another program, or another program, or another program, running to this conference, or that conference, and I'm not against that, don't get me wrong, but it seems like that's all our churches have become sometimes. And churches are for the families as a whole. To come in, sing together, worship together, get priesthood together, come to the altar together, and it's just a time when they come as one body of Christ. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of, because we are a generation that wants to be amused and entertained. I mean, we've got the TV, we've got the computers, we got the Netflix, we got the on-demand, we got the sports things. I mean, it's all out there, right? I mean, who ever dreamed? When I was a kid in Baltimore, you had 2, 11, 13, I think we had 5 we got also at that time. And then later on, I think came like 45, something like that. And that was it. It was ABC, NBC, CBS, and then Fox and PBS. Now, man alive, I know when I was at my mother-in-law, when she still had that satellite TV, there was like 900 some channels on that thing. Even music, we just listen to music and all kinds of varieties of music and all this stuff. And sometimes skimming through the titles, you got to, oh, I don't want to skim through all them titles. Get to that one section of numbers, like, okay, it's just, can we just put a black line over that? But we live in a world of entertainment. The Hershey Parks, the the Knoblesvilles, the Six Flags. I'm not against those things in general. Don't get me wrong. But that's what we want now. If it's not entertaining, we don't want it. And that's what people look to churches now. And so they're saying, there are two things. The church is going to have to keep doing more to entertain me, so they're not doing enough, so I'm going to do it where they can find it elsewhere. And eventually, if the church keeps getting more and more worldly, well, they're going to go to the world anyways then. And the second is, the more worldly a church becomes trying to entertain them, the less power it has to affect them. You know what can change that? It does kind of come back around again. Thank you, Lord. You know what can change that? A praying church. A church that comes together in true prayer. You know, I guess one thing that our church really could do, and I'm talking to me as well here, is come together and pray more often. And I mean really spend some quality time and prayer together. We could do that more often. Your prayer clause is one thing, but you read in the book of Acts where they came together in the church and they prayed together and the place was shook and those things. There's that much power in prayer. So I don't know. I'm hoping through this series here that you and I realize the importance of prayer, and that if nothing else, our church will be drawn closer to God in prayer, which will make us a more God-honoring, holy church that will produce more fruit. Amen? I'm not looking to be the most flashiest, have the most entertainment. I'm not looking to be I'm never going to be the fanciest preacher or the most well-spoken preacher you're ever going to see. I'm at the bottom of that list. But I want to be godly. I want to be a church that when we stand before Him, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, Antrim Faith Baptist Church. Well done." Amen? I want to see souls in heaven that'll say, "Thank God you were there for us." Missionaries will say, "Thank God for what you did for us. Keeping us on the field, encouraging us. That what you sent us was of vital importance." Don't you want to hear those things? We've got to be effective. And we can't be that without the right kind of prayer life. Without the Scriptures being opened to us through the key of prayer. And so I'm just going to encourage you tonight, if you would, just take some more time in your life. And I know you're busy and I know it's hard, but focus on some prayer. Focus on some prayer. That worship, that intimacy, that drawing closer to God, that seeking His will. In fact, did you ever talk to God and pray to God and then just, and pardon the way I'm going to say it, but then just shut up and listen to God? Just say, "God, I just want to hear from you right now." And don't let your mind wander. Just stay focused on the fact that you're in the throne of God and let Him in a still small voice speak to your heart. Now, if you're an audible voice, come see me. But listen to the closeness, the stillness of your heart. And look at Psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." The idea is just stop and bow and listen. He's God. Easy to do some other nighttime when the windows open this time of the year. And you're laying there, your eyes closed in bed going to sleep, and you hear or early in the morning, and you hear the birds, or you hear the crickets at nighttime, and you hear and you're reminded of the God of creation. You hear the rain hitting the roofs or the windows and those things. That's the idea. Be still and just listen. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off anything that's a distraction to you. And just listen to Him. You know? He'll calm you. I know that from firsthand experience. He calms you when you do that. And He says, "Just trust me. Quit panicking. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. It's all under my control. Just be still. Be quiet." I'd encourage you to do something in your prayer time and in your life. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word tonight.
And I pray I've been an encouragement to the folks that are here tonight. Lord, I know how busy these folks are. I know how demanding their jobs and their lives are, and I know what their pressures are in this world today, Father. It's worse than it's ever been. And that makes it that much more difficult to stop and to spend time with You. But, oh Lord, that's where the power is found. That's where the intimacy is found. That's where the worship takes place. That's where we truly hear from You. Prayer in Your Word. So, Father, stir our hearts tonight. And use us tonight, Father. Help our church to be one that's effective. Father, help our church be one that has power. One that affects our community for Christ. One that shines its brightest. And if there's a soul here without Christ tonight, I pray before they leave tonight, they talk to us and get that settled. I ask in My Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.